My name is Matthew Wayne Selznick, and this is Sonatotum, episode 57. Hello, my friends. On every episode of Sonatotum, we talk about making stuff, mostly writing, finding success as we each define it for ourselves, and staying healthy and sane in the process. Every episode, I like to start off talking about my own creative experience in the previous week since we last spoke to one another. What I've accomplished, what challenges I ran into, what victories, the whole shebang, so that you have a window into, well, my creative life. And hopefully, along the way, you find some things that maybe apply to your own creative life. This is a car cast this time around. I'm sitting in the mobile studios of MWS Media, which is the cabin of my very, very ancient 2005 Prius, recording through my lavalier mic into my laptop. It's pretty quiet here at the park. Oh, by the way, it's Friday, October 28th, 2002, as I speak to you. So we're doing a car cast. We're using the lavalier mic. We're using the laptop. Everything seems to be performing swimmingly. So in this last week, what's happened? Well, more words added to the manuscript of my novel in progress, Shadow of the Outsider, the second novel in the Shaper's World cycle, which so far consists of Light of the Outsider, a novel, and its follow-up novelette, The Perfumed Air at Kawanantag Bay. I'm pretty stoked that I'm developing this practice when it comes to Shadow of the Outsider, that I've been able to, at some cost in terms of energy and whatnot, and I'll get into that, but I've been able to create a little bit of a practice when it comes to creating most days of the week. And again, I'll get into that, but for now, I have added more words to the first scene, the inciting incident of Shadow of the Outsider, getting into a lot of cross-character dialogue, which of course reveals plot and intention and story through the dialogue. So that's good. I feel good about that. The other major thing that I worked on in this past week, and indeed finished up today, is a Scribtotum article. Scribtotum is my blog over there at mattselznick.com. It's a companion to this podcast, or this podcast is a companion to my blog, one way or the other. It's all two parts of a whole, I guess you would say. I was inspired to write a Scribtotum article because it's been 2 years and a week since I posted an article called The Big Plan and broadcast its companion Sonatotum episode, The Big Plan, talking about, well, this big plan that I had worked out. And I wanted to revisit the big plan because, hey, it's been 2 years and a week, as I mentioned. And, well, spoiler alert, the big plan, it's been made moot. Deadlines have been missed. I'm not where the big plan says I should be in October of 2022. I think 2 novels and a couple of novellas or novelettes behind, which puts everything that was supposed to happen after those 2 novels and novelettes also just, you know, no longer in the realm of predictability. So I wanted to write about that, not in a simple update and woe is me, I have failed at this way, but rather to reflect and think about the whole idea of making big plans when it comes to our creativity. And so I wrote that article, and why not? That is also the subject of today's Sonatotum episode. I will have a link to the Scribtotum article about the big plan, about revisiting the big plan. But the basic idea, and I think probably the title of that post, and probably the title of this episode, is don't have a plan, have a practice. Now, what do I mean by that? A little bit of backstory, and again, you can get lots of details by reading the accompanying blog post for this episode, or also by going back and reading the original blog post about the big plan 2 years ago. I will have links for those in the show notes for this episode, episode 57, over there at mattselznick.com. Just visit mattselznick.com, click on the podcast link in the top menu, find episode 57, and read away to get all those links and whatnot. Follow the rabbit hole. But the idea behind the big plan 2 years ago was I realized just how much I wanted to do, how many novels I needed to write, not just in my Shaper's World cycle, but also in my other story worlds like the Sovereign Era and Daikaiju Universe and the Protector cycle. I realized how many books I wanted to write that I had basic ideas already kind of fleshed out for. But then I looked at how often I actually released novels. And this was 2 years ago. Basically, at that point, about 7 years passed between each of my first three novels. And I think I did the math. And if that were to be the status quo, then I wouldn't get done with everything I needed or wanted to write, all the art that I want to release into the world that I know of so far, it would take until I'm 150. So clearly that would not do, right? that's not workable. So I came up with the big plan, and I had this great thing charted out from the end of 2020 all the way through to 2025, with a goal that by 2027, I would be making at least $75,000 a year just from my own creative endeavors, my books, my short stories, my serials, all that stuff. Fiction that I had available for people to buy. Basically paying for my own retirement, or at least my dotage. And I mean, I went deep on it. I looked at a calendar, and I had a spreadsheet going, and I was calculating projected earnings and all this stuff based on the idea of my releasing one novel and one shorter work per year. And I posted it 2 years ago. And well, you know, it all went to hell. I mean, even the novelette, The Perfumed Air at Kwanantag Bay, it was supposed to come out in December of 2020. It came out, I believe, in April of 2021. 2022 doesn't look like we're going to see any fiction. 2022, my only release will likely be my nonfiction book, Indie Author Marketing Infrastructure. And I'm not counting the installments of my free serial, Hazy Days and Cloudy Nights, how it all got started in this. I'm talking about things that I can sell. So right off the bat, I ended up being 5 months behind in 2021. And I worked on Shadow of the Outsider in 2021, but not to great effect and not often enough. And I was having, and I think I've talked about this on the podcast, I was having a lot of difficulty with the structure of Shadow of the Outsider, with the story architecture. And that was leading to, it was contributing to a kind of a crisis of confidence when it came to actually writing the thing. It's often said that every novel is like one's first novel because there are new challenges and new difficulties and new puzzles and new knots to untie. If you are pushing yourself to write a better book than the last one, you know, if you're satisfied with just repeating yourself and staying at the same level and basically just being a hacky for the money kind of writer, then maybe you don't face these challenges. Maybe you do like Lester Dent and have a formula and stick with it and sell lots and lots and lots and lots of stuff and write really fast. That's not me. I want every book to be better than the last. I want to challenge myself. I want to feel something. I want to learn something. I want to say something. Well, I was having trouble with all of that with Shadow of the Outsider. And the other thing contributing to my slow pace on creating this book is the slow sales of the previous novel, Light of the Outsider, stemming largely from my discouragement when it comes to figuring out how to market that damn thing. Because in an era of doorstop sized epic fantasies and crazy subgenres in fantasy like lit RPG and reverse harem and cultivation, my little 70,000, 80,000 word standalone fantasy novel that is also heavily character driven and also sort of a caper crime novel, to this day, I'm having trouble figuring out how to sell it. Everybody who's read it likes it. Everybody who's reviewed it has reviewed it favorably. But yeah. So the lack of momentum with that book has certainly resulted in a lack of momentum for me creatively when it comes to the next book. I mean, you know, it's like Sisyphus, right? Pushing the rock up the hill. And the rock rolls back down. You do it again. And where are you going? But as I mentioned in the previous episode of Sonatotum, I've figured it out. I've broken through. But it's taken all this time to understand what the novel is, what the focus of the book is. So the big plan is tossed. And in reflecting about the big plan, I realized that I should not have made a big plan. That it doesn't work. There's a phrase that dates back in one form or another, as far as we know, to the 19th century, but it's often paraphrased as no plan survives the first encounter with the enemy. And the enemy for creators is often just life and ourselves. So why did I create a big plan in the first place? Well, again, on reflection, I think the idea, the practice of creating a big plan, it helped me to feel better about where I was in my life and creatively. It helped me to have, well, a plan and to be able to say, ah, yes, I've got this all figured out. This is what I'm going to do from now until 2025. And remember, this was 2020 when I was working on this. And as I say in the companion article to this episode, I knew what I was going to do because I'd pored over my spreadsheets and my projections, and I'd written a couple thousand words in an article explaining it to you. I knew what I was going to do. I neglected to pay any mind to how I was going to do it. And I rode the momentum of, hey, here's my big plan. This is what's going to happen. And I, you know, shared that with the public, with you, with anyone who might read it or hear about it in that episode of Sonatotum that went along with it. Here's the problem with that. And here's why I am advocating now, 2 years later, against making big plans and holding oneself to some sort of big plan. Couple of things. Like I already said, it gave me great satisfaction and provided me with a little bit of momentum and perhaps a balm for my cuckoo crazy life to declare what I was going to do. But I didn't figure out or talk about or really think about how I was going to do it. The other thing is, and this is neuroscience. This is backed by at least one study that I link to in the article that'll be associated with this episode. The way our brains work, we get the same sort of chemical reward in our brains by sharing our goals as we do accomplishing our goals. So to the brain, to our motivation centers, there's less motivation because some part of ourselves, deep in our subconscious, kind of feels like we already did the thing. So why do we need to work on it? That is crazy, right? I mean, it's like actually crazy, but it's also nuts, remarkable that our brains work like this. But our brains work like this for the same reason that we experience the same fight or flight chemical response when we see a traumatic news story on the evening news, for example. We get the same chemical fight or flight response as we do as if we were actually in mortal danger ourselves in real life. And this is because our brains aren't made for the world we actually live in. And that creates problems. Our brains are stupid. And the associated hormonal, emotional soup that really does rule most of our lives is likewise very reactionary and very single, pardon the pun, single-minded. Our bodies, our brains, the machine that makes us, the biochemical, neurochemical networks that keep this thing we are moving around in the world, all they want to do is keep us safe and make sure we have enough energy to stay safe and to make more of ourselves. Problem is, on top of that, we have this layer where we think and we dream and we aspire and we reflect. We are dreaming apes, right? I know apes dream too, but you get what I'm saying. So it creates this friction, and I'm a living example of this friction. I made the big plan because my life was without plan, without order, without predictability. And I was feeling 2 years ago, and sure, still, a little desperate, a little at sea. So I got a nice mood boost in creating the plan. And then across 2 years, feeling frustrated and upset and depressed and anxious as the plan slowly began to unravel, I had forgotten about it, except to be like, oh yeah, the big plan, ha ha ha. I even did a Sonototem episode called "So How's That Big Plan Going?" And honestly, I don't remember what I talked about in it or when it was, but I will link to it in the show notes. So, no big plans. They aren't good for your actual effort. And revealing your plans, declaring them, declaring your goals can actually be counterproductive to achieving them. So I'm sitting here in my car telling you, don't have a big plan, don't have goals. What should you be doing instead? And the thing that I've come back to, and I say come back to because I learn and forget and relearn over and over again, the thing that I've come back to, remembered, is to have a practice, to do a thing that serves your intention. And in doing that thing with intention, your larger aspirations will come to pass. And you won't be glued to this idea of a deadline years in the future, or all of the stacked deadlines like I had, you know, every year, every book figured out all the way to 2025 and beyond. That's an awful lot of pressure to put on yourself. What I figured out and what I've come back to and what I've been practicing, especially in this last 2 weeks, but truly in a way, ever since the beginning of June, when I decided I wanted to do weekly episodes of this podcast again, what I've been doing is practicing my art with the intention of showing up and making progress on the things that will eventually and inexorably and inevitably contribute to the thing I want, which is to find success making stuff while staying healthy and sane in the process. What does finding success mean to me? I've told you more than a few times. I want to be able to make a comfortable living solely on the fruits of my own creative endeavors, as opposed to how it is today and how it's been since 2010 or so, which is making a living helping others with their creative endeavors. I still want to help people, but I don't want to depend on other people paying me to help them. I want to make things and have those things pay my rent, pay my bills, provide me with enough money where I'm not concerned about money. I don't need a lavish lifestyle. I used to have this mantra that I would say to myself. It's a little corny, but I used to say to myself, my name is Matthew Wayne Selznick. I live in a delightful small home of my own, and I earn a comfortable living from my own creative endeavors. And that's a little aspirational creative visualization, borderline woo-woo kind of stuff, but it does solidify what is behind my intention. Nowhere in there does it say, my name is Matthew Wayne Selznick and I live in a little house that I really like and I make this much money and I will do that by this date, having written this many things on those dates. I've taken away the pressure, the hammer, the heavy sword of Damocles hanging over my head. And in doing so, I'm no longer needing to necessarily judge myself when these arbitrary, completely arbitrary deadlines, milestones, call them what you will, come and go unachieved. Rather, I show up, I sit down, and I focus on my creative endeavors for 2, 3, 3.5 hours, most mornings, most days of the week. And if I can walk away from those 2, 3, 3.5 hours every morning, having added to something, having added to Shadow of the Outsider, having added to my Scriptotum articles or this podcast, or having added to the paid newsletter that I'm preparing to launch, whatever it might be, if I can walk away most days having done something toward that, then I feel pretty good. And it makes me want to pick it up and do it again the next day. It makes me want to get back to it. I've talked in previous recent episodes about how I've felt my most content during these morning creative sessions, these mornings when I've been able to get deep almost into a flow state. I'm not sure that I would go so far as to call it that, but the mornings when I'm able to really get into the stuff that I'm doing to the point where it's hard to drag me away. Every day that I do that makes me want to come back and do it again the next day. That's building a practice. A practice is action with intention that you perform regularly. People talk about developing habits. Habits are a little different. Habits are things you do without really conscious thought, without considering the intention. I mean, let's face it, when you brush your teeth before bed, you're not brushing your teeth thinking, I am brushing my teeth so that I don't lose my teeth. You brush your teeth because brushing your teeth before bed is what you do. You wash the dishes after dinner because that's what you do. You take out the trash at night because that's what you do. You don't gather up the trash at night and think to yourself, I am taking out the trash so that the kitchen doesn't smell like trash the next morning. No, you just do it, right? That's a habit. Having a practice, again, a practice is repeated behavior with intention. I think it was Stephen Pressfield in The War of Art who wrote about his little ritual before he starts working on a manuscript. He has a bust of either Homer or Athena on his desk, and he recites the I don't remember. I'll link to The War of Art in the show notes, and it's a thin book. You can pick it up yourself if you haven't read it, and you can find this out for yourself. Or maybe I will dig my copy out if it's out of storage, and let you know and have that in the show notes. But basically, he has a little thing he does before he starts writing. And that is either he pets the, you know, he pats the bust of Athena, or is it Homer? He either does that and or he recites the opening of the Iliad, which is an invocation to creativity, to the act of storytelling that is to follow, which is kind of lovely. That is how that particular author sets his intention before beginning to work. The important thing is that you have your intention. And it's nothing, I don't do anything quite so regimented as that, nothing quite so ritualistic. But, I mean, I have my little list of things that I would like to address or give attention to, two or three different little creative things. So I know that that morning session, that practice session, is going to involve one of those. And if I've made progress on one or two or all three of those things during the course of my creative time, then I have acted with intention. I've succeeded. That's a win. And we all need little wins when it comes to our creativity, our practice. Because as you know, if you are a maker, if you are an author, a painter, whatever you might be, there's a lot of preparation and very brief flashes of acknowledgement or reward for the thing that you have made. So we need those little moments of acknowledged accomplishment. And by developing a practice and observing that practice regularly, for me, it's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in the mornings, Friday, most of the day, like today, and then a few hours on Saturday and Sunday, but those hours are frankly mostly spent preparing this podcast for you. Monday is a very heavy client day for me, so it's unusual that I get time to do my own creative stuff. But I've worked that in. I understand that. So I don't feel bad when I don't do creative stuff on Monday. I know that I'm gonna be back at my practice Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, almost the entire day Friday. You see, I don't have a goal of I'm gonna write 5,000 words in the coming week. No. Because if I miss that goal, I don't wanna feel like shit. Rather, I wanna tell myself, I'm gonna sit down and work my practice. I'm going to create most of the days of the week in the morning, before I dedicate myself wholly to my clients' needs. If I can tell myself that and do it, then I feel good. And day after day, week after week of that, it's inevitable that you'll finish the thing. You'll be able to move from making the thing to whatever your version of polishing the thing is. Most of us are writers, I think, right? Let me know. Editing and creating the covers and all the stuff that is involved after you've typed the end and before you press publish, if you're a self-published author. Show up every day, work your practice, and you will get to done. Don't waste time with talking to the world about what you're gonna do, especially over the long term, because you cannot predict what's going to happen. I am not where I thought I would be in October of 2022 in every way. If you had told me that I was going to be where I'm at in every way in October of 22, if you had told me that in October of 2020, well, I'm pretty sure there would have been a major depressive episode which for me, not to overstate, that would mean just being really irritable and not getting a lot of sleep and feeling lethargic and being angry. So don't count on shit going the way you think it's going to go. You know, the Stoics say to not spend energy on things you cannot control. So do the things you can do. Find the time to work your practice. Make the time to make your art. Most days, every day if possible, but most days. End those days knowing that you showed up for your practice with intention, and you will sleep better, and you'll want to get up and do it again. Don't focus on, oh my God, is this book I'm writing going to sell? Focus on, I am writing this book. Look at me. I mean, that alone, folks, that is something so many people in the world say they're going to do. And you're the kind of person who actually does it. You make your thing. And I know it's hard. Believe me. Oh my God. I know it's hard. And that's why I'm saying don't focus on the outcome. Focus on the practice. Now, am I saying don't have short-term plans? Of course not. It's going to get to the point with Shadow of the Outsider. We'll use this for the example. Probably when I'm about 60% of the way through the first draft of the manuscript, I'm going to open up that baby for pre-orders. I'm going to start offering it for sale, because 60% of the way through, I will have a pretty good idea of how long it's going to take me to get done. I spelled out sort of the way I chart my progress when I'm actually in a manuscript, not make a plan, but just see where I'm at so I can predict reasonably, not in the spirit of being punitive if I fail, but simply having an idea, because there are interconnected pieces that come with writing, producing, and selling your creative thing. Well, in this case, my books. I have a system, and I wrote it up in a Facebook comment for another author, and it's a ready-made blog post, so maybe I'll write that out. Point is, yes, of course, you know, when it comes time to promote and sell, you know, when you are closer to your actual completion date and you can see it on the horizon, by all means, start scheduling things, making plans, scheduling interviews and doing promotions and selling to your mailing list and all those things. Of course, the goal is to find success, right? So you gotta plan and prepare for that. You gotta put the pieces in place so that the people who want to give you money for your works can do that. So of course, you know, plan and schedule those things, but think of those things as acts of intention as well. The intention being, of course, to sell the thing that you complete, because by the time you're at that point, you'll know you're going to complete it, barring literal lightning strikes or, you know, some sort of act of God, quote unquote. Of course, make short-term, feasible, reasonably predictable plans. Do not depend on or hinge your success or self-worth upon long-term goals. Just work your practice as often as you can, more days in the week than not. And you'll feel better. You'll make more stuff over time. And you'll want to show up to do it again the next day. That's what I've figured out again. Every time I figure these things out, it sticks a little better. So I'm sharing it with you. I feel good about it. I'm sitting here in my car, smiling. I'm happy about it. I'm not happy about everything. But I'm happy about this because I'm doing something. I'm working my practice. All right. One of the things that I do is I share my works in progress with my Paramount level patrons. These are folks who have pledged $20 or more every month to support this podcast and my overall creative endeavors. You can go to mattselznick.com/B-A-patron and see all the rewards that one gets for being a patron at the $20 a month level or the $10 or $5 or $3 level. There are rewards, perks, special access. One of the perks of being a patron at the $5 a month level and up is that I acknowledge you and I thank you in every episode of this podcast. So thank you, Ted Leonhardt and J.C. Hutchins, exceptional and Paramount patrons, respectively. Thank you also to my patrons at lower levels, some who pledge $3 a month, one who actually has been pledging just $1 a month. God love her. For a very long time. Thank you all. And if you would like to be a patron, if you find what I'm doing here in Sonatotum and what I do over at mattselznick.com with the blog posts, the Scriptotum articles and the resources and all the other things, the years of content that I provide, you can become a patron again at mattselznick.com/B-A-patron. Remember that you can go to mattselznick.com, find the show notes in the podcast section for this episode, episode 57, and you will be able to read whatever links and things I've talked about in this episode, including a link to the full-length 2,000 words plus article that is sort of a deeper dive on this subject of not creating a plan, creating a practice. mattselznick.com, click on podcasts, find episode 57. While you're there looking at those show notes, if you would like to leave a comment, I don't want to hear your practice. Remember, there's no point in sharing your specific practice. That's a little bit like actually doing it to your dumb old brain. But if you'd like to share how having a practice has changed your creative process, or maybe the challenges you have in establishing a practice at all, I would love you to leave a comment there in the show notes for episode 57, or you can email me directly at matt@mattselznick.com and write me up a little thing, or just record a brief voice message on your phone and send that to matt@mattselznick.com. I'll play that recording in a future episode and respond to it right there in the episode, and we'll have a little time-shifted conversation about it all. The success and growth of Sonatotum, which it's my intention that this show adds value to folks who are creators, especially creative writers, nothing really helps grow the show and grow this listener community that we have than when you rate and review the show wherever you get your podcasts, whether that's Apple Podcasts or Spotify or one of any of the many podcast apps and aggregators. Rate and review Sonatotum wherever you get your podcasts, 4 or 5 stars rating. And if you have a few moments to write a review in your own words about why you love the show and why other people would love the show, please do that. Don't assume someone else is going to do it. If you're moved to do it, please take the few minutes to do it. Because what happens is the more ratings and reviews we get for Sonatotum, the higher it goes in the search results when people are looking for shows like Sonatotum, shows about creativity and mental health and how it all connects together. Rate and review, please, wherever you get your podcasts. Finally, at the end of every episode, I let you, dear listener, know about the special offers I have just for you, the listener of Sonatotum. I don't talk about these offers anywhere else. I don't promote them anywhere else. As you may know, my day job is as a service provider for creators, mostly writers and podcasters. I help people bring their creative endeavors to fruition, to market, and to an audience. I have a wide range of services that I offer. And I offer discounts to you simply because you're a listener and I love you. To find out what the current offers are, go to mattselznick.com/listener-love. And see if anything there matches what you need. And by all means, take advantage of the discount. It's just for you. I don't give that link out anywhere else. And I only mention it at the end of every episode as a little reward for your listening all the way through. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being there. Thank you for listening. Thank you for showing up every week. Thank you for telling other people about the show. And work your practice, all right? Do the thing. Make your art. We're building the culture, you and I. We're making stuff that's going to make someone's day. That's going to inspire. But you gotta just show up with intention. Put in that time. Don't be scared. Don't be afraid. Don't worry about where you thought you were going to be or how far you thought you were going to get by now. Just do the thing today, now, and then do it again tomorrow and the next day and the next day. That's why we're alive. My name is Matthew Wayne Selznick. Take care.